and turn to Corinthians chapter 7 and 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 7. You may remain seated for tonight. Just going to do a little Bible study tonight. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. I want to share with you a lesson from my preacher. And I think everybody needs a pastor. Everybody needs a pastor. And that includes your pastor needs a pastor. And a pastor is somebody you choose as a mentor. And my preacher, Brother Bob, went home to be with the Lord this February. And but this is one of the lessons Brother Bob taught me, not only by vocally teaching it, but living it out and showing it to me over my lifetime that I've known him. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 7. Have you found it? Say amen. All right, need to follow along. I'm going to do a lot of Bible tonight. Look at 2 Corinthians 7:7. And not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you. When he told us, now this is Paul relating back to the church at Corinth what Timothy was telling them, what telling him. Timothy was reporting what was going on. And the thing is, he is relating it back to him. He says, we were excited, not just because he came and found us, but also we were comforted in you when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind toward me, so that I rejoice the more. Paul was taking shots all across. Everybody was picking on him. Everybody was questioning him and questioning his authority and things. So when Paul got the news back from Timothy, I want you to focus in on, he's talking about their testimony toward him. What the Corinthian believers, what they thought of Paul, how they looked at him, how they saw him, their view of Paul. And it's in that phrase, your fervent mind toward me. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, I love you, and I pray tonight to just be a blessing. Father, help me to communicate the truth you've laid on my heart. And Father, the truth that has changed my life, may it change theirs. If there's one on campus tonight that's not saved, that's never trusted Christ as their Savior, may they call upon him, repenting of their sins, and believing, and being saved. And for us, your children tonight, stir us, bind us to you in a way that profoundly changes us. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, it's funny, my wife has a keychain. It's got a big old strap on it, and on it, she's got all these different cards. Show me your keys, baby. So I'm going to show these folks something. It's kind of crazy. She puts a big strap on it because she can't find it in the bottom of that magical purse that heaps our entire life in the bottom of it. Did you lose your keys, baby, in that magical purse?
Yeah.
Did you? On the Harry Potter movies, Hermione Granger's got this little pink purse that she can put a boat in and a tent in. And I think Ms. Mix does the same. Did you leave them at home? Well, on that, I should have asked you about it. I just thought of it when I was standing up there. On that, do we have a winner? Do we have a winner? All right, so out come the boat, the canoe, the paddles. You got the paddles in the boat and the motor in there too, don't you? Yep, we have a boat. She did. Okay. On her keychain, she's got these little cards, these little tags like this one I got from Kingstown. Do you all have those on yours? What are they? What are they? You got a big, what are those things, sister?
Membership cards.
Loyalty reward cards. Isn't that what those are from like Toys R Us, Giant Food, where are coupons? Get your free coupons things. I mean, the companies in our area or in our world has understood that loyalty, brand loyalty is important. If they can get you to become loyal to the brand, they know they'll have a customer for life. There's some sort of a bond there, whether it's a perception of value or whether it's a perception of quality. If you'll put that on your key ring, you'll use it every time. They've got a way to market to you, but they call it loyalty rewards or rewards for loyalty is basically what it is. Funny thing is, the word loyalty does not find itself in the King James Bible. The word's not there. So I had to look it up. If you've ever looked up what loyalty means in the Bible, it says fidelity. Now, how many use the word fidelity this week in a sentence that didn't mean fidelity mutual insurance? That was you, fidelity mutual insurance. Fidelity, I had to look it up. Now look, this is the thing that kills me. People don't like to look things up anymore. But words have meaning. Meanings have power. Because we think in words. Did you know that, Joy? You don't think in color. Technicolor. You think in words. You talk to yourself in words. You talk to yourself. Self-talk, whether positive or negative, you use words and those words stir you. Well, don't be afraid to look things up. People say to me, well, I don't understand that old English. You know what? I don't understand the new English. I have to look things up. So I had to look up the word fidelity. Fidelity means faithfulness to. Did you know fidelity is not in the Bible either? Faithfulness to. Careful and exact observance of duty. Faithfulness to the duty or a bond that I have. Faithfulness to this bond that I have. So when I looked up loyalty and I looked up fidelity, I found that it said, I had to look up the word fervent too, by the way. The word fervent means hot, not lukewarm, not cold, hot. So fervent or not lukewarm, passionate affection, fidelity to or faithfulness to my relationship with someone. That's what loyalty means. The fervent mind meant that Paul was saying that the people in Corinth were loyal to him. They had a bond, a love relationship with him because of how God had used him in their life. He had a fervent mind. That means they weren't on again, off again. They had a hot, when I say hot, like boiling, they had an ever-present, ever-warm bond with him in their mind. They still loved him. They still thought and respected him. They still thought highly of him. They still preferred him. Loyalty. That's what this is talking about. They were loyal. When we were advertising for a youth pastor, one of the things I told the men was, I have to have two things. Two things that are non-negotiable. Number one, he's got to be loyal. Number two, he has to be teachable. If I can't have that, there's no point in having it. But loyalty is number one. I'll fire him quicker for loyalty, for lack of loyalty, than I will most anything. And I don't want to get into that tonight. But the word loyalty means fidelity or faithfulness. Fervent, passionate affection. And a lot of people talk about loyalty, but in reality, they don't really live what loyalty is. The Bible says in Proverbs 20 and verse 6, most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Now, you and I are not to act like the world around us. We've got plenty of Bible on that. We're not to act like the world around us. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Romans chapter 12. We know that one, right? Well, many people make agreements. They make vows, but they end up breaking them. Like I said, many people make vows in a wedding, but they just end up in divorce. Why? Because you got to understand, a vow is a bond. It is something we've entered into that binds us together. Do you understand? A covenant is not a contract. You've heard me speak on this extensively. I don't need to go into it. It's not a contract. A contract limits liability. But a covenant is taking full responsibility. Loyalty is a bond people have with each other or with a brand. We find that in this world today, people break those bonds all the time. Friendships get canceled like a gym membership, or they let it just expire because they're not getting anything out of it. They don't want to obligate themselves. They don't see loyalty as an important characteristic. Well, I'm a loyal person. Loyalty means there's a bond there. Professing Christians become unbelievers because their circumstances change. So fervent, passionate. So when you think of loyalty, he says fervent mind. So that word fervent means that hot, passionate affection, that fidelity, that faithfulness to God, whom we say we have a relationship with. Are you loyal to God? I don't know, maybe nobody's ever asked you that. Are you loyal to him? You think, well, that's crazy. We're all believers. We believe in God. We believe in Him. We trusted Him as our Savior. But are you loyal toward God? See, God is the perfect illustration of what loyalty is. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. If loyalty or a fervent mind is that passionate affection or faithfulness to someone you're in a relationship with, 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. God is faithful. Scripture tells us that He remains faithful to us when we're not even faithful to Him. Deuteronomy 7 and verse 9, the Bible says, know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy. This is so cool. I want you to understand. When God entered into a covenant vow, a bond relationship with Abraham, He wasn't expecting Abraham to hold up his end. God was taking responsibility for it all. I have a bond with you. I am loyal to you. And even when Abraham blew it, God was still faithful to him. God stayed in it. God was loyal. And after Abraham passed off the scene and his son was now the person who had inherited the promise, God was faithful to Isaac, even when Isaac messed up. And then when it passed down to Jacob, God was faithful to Jacob because he had a relationship, a bond with him. He was loyal. And then today, I want you to understand, God is still loyal. Do you understand that? To his people. He is still loyal to the Jew. There's a Jewish man who's on the very end of my townhome complex, and I pray for him. I invited him to church. He goes, no, I've already gone to my synagogue. I'm fine. He's God's chosen people. He's a Jew. God has been faithful to those people all these years. God has been loyal to his friend Abraham. He is the picture of loyalty. Oh, God has had to chastise his children. I understand that. But he has had a fervent, passionate affection. He has been faithful to them. You know, even if a believer fails, God remains loyal. In 1 Kings chapter 8 and verse 23, the Bible says, Lord God of Israel, there is no God like thee in heaven above or in earth beneath, who keepest covenant and mercy with thy servants that walk before thee with all their heart. You know, I understand that we trust Christ alone for our salvation. Plus nothing, minus nothing. It's all Christ. But He is faithful. He is faithful to us. Do we have a fervent mind toward Christ? In 2 Corinthians 7:7, it says, a fervent mind. Are you loyal to Him? I mean, our love and appreciation for what He has done for us ought to stoke the furnace, make it fervent, our loyalty for Him. Jesus paid the biggest debt in full, worthy of all praise. And the Scripture is clear that nothing separates us from that. Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 35. Romans chapter 8. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress? Persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, whether I die or whether I live, nor angels, that's good or bad, nor principalities or powers or things present or things to come, nor height or depth, nor any other creature, that includes me, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do you have a fervent mind? Are you loyal to God who is loyal to you? Our fervent, passionate affection, fidelity, or faithfulness to Christ should derive our desire to obey Him. In 1 Kings chapter number 8 and verse 61, 1 Kings chapter number 8 and verse number 61, listen to what the Bible reads. It says, let your hearts therefore be perfect with the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes, to keep His commandments as at this day. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. We should want to love him more and to get to know him more. God is the true illustration, the true picture of what loyalty is. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, the Bible says, let us hold fast. Oh, you'll look at that. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Go to Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 23. Follow along with me. I want you to see this. Let's break this verse down. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. Let us, those of us who call upon the name of Christ, listen, look at it. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Look at Hebrews 13 and verse 5. Hebrews 13 and verse 5. And the Bible says there at the end of that verse, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. See, a true Christian, a true believer who's loyal to God will die to self and be faithful to God. It says in verse chapter 13 and verse 5 of Hebrews, let your conversation be, that conversation is talking about your life, the way you live. See, loyalty is not just, it's not just a one-time event. It's not just a ceremony you have at the wedding altar. It's not just a moment where you have a feeling because you had an encounter with the creator of this universe. Loyalty is a daily decision, a bond that you have. And it says here, let your conversation, this is your lifestyle. Loyalty is a lifestyle. Look at this. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Now, covetousness is the desire to fulfill our flesh. It is the definition of loyalty to the flesh. Covetousness is you and I being loyal to our flesh. Listen, this affects me too. Loyalty to our flesh. And every day, our loyalties, every day when you get up, our loyalties land somewhere between self and the Savior. In full abandonment to the desires of the flesh and full submission to the Holy Spirit of God. Every one of us reside in this space where our loyalties are between self and the Savior. Our faithfulness to daily Bible reading reflects our loyalty to God. Our time of daily prayer reflects our loyalty to God. Our faithfulness to witness reflects our loyalty to God. And as I said, God is the perfect definition and illustration of loyalty. 1 Corinthians 1:9, God is faithful. And our main loyalty is to Christ, but it's also loyalty to others. Would you consider yourself loyal to your family? There's a phrase growing up. When I was a kid, my mama would say, blood is thicker than water. That's what we'd say. Blood is thicker than water. Do you choose your friends over us, is what my parents would say to me all the time. Do you have a fervent, passionate affection, fidelity, faithfulness to your spouse whom you say you have a relationship with? Are you loyal to that spouse? Look at Ephesians 5 at the language Paul used. Now, Paul is an interesting phrase. Paul was single his entire life. And Paul was used of God to pen these words. Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives even as. In like manner, just like Christ loved the church. Christ was loyal to the church. Loyal. Thinking of our needs ahead of his own. And he gave himself for it. Verse 28, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. Verse 33, nevertheless, let every one of you particular love his wife even as himself. And wife, see that she reverence her husband. Would you consider yourself a loyal spouse? I want to shock you with something here, all right? Little spoiler alert, you are married to a sinner. Just a little FYI, you're married to a sinner. When sinners say I do, it all looks pretty because they're all dressed up. But the truth is, they're still sinners down inside. And you know what? Children, your children are sinners. Yes, yours. Not just the pastor and deacons, but your kids are sinners with sin nature. They're dirty little sinners like the rest of us. Did you know that? A little shocker there. They're sinners with sin natures. So, you have this vow. You've got this bond. We're supposed to have this bond with your family. Are you loyal? Would you consider yourself loyal? Do you have a fervent mind toward them? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Look what it says here. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. That's what I've told my boys since they were little. I said, what you want is loyal, faithful, and true. But the only way you're going to get loyal, faithful, and true is if you're loyal, faithful, and true. Look what it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 7. It says charity. Now, charity is not a sympathetic thing. Charity, like it's been made out to you today. Charity is love that runs so deep, I am motivated to come from out of my complacency, out of my covetousness. I have now, listen, every one of our loyalty to our family lies somewhere between self and our spouse. Our loyalties are somewhere right in there. And some days we're a little over here, and some days we're doing good and we're a little over here. But we're never perfect, we're never fully abandoned to the flesh, and we're never fully abandoned to the bond of our relationships. Because we're not perfect, that's why. And we land somewhere in here, and we're somewhere between the self and the Savior, and we're somewhere between self and our spouse. Would you consider yourself a spouse of fervent mind? Would you consider yourself a child of fervent mind, of loyalty to your family? You know, it says that our love, our compassion, our forgiveness, and our grace. Look at this, 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 7. Charity, that love that motivates me to act, it bears all things. Beareth all things. There's nothing outside of all. It's all encompassing. There's nothing that gets, there's nobody gets a pass. It bears all things. You know, I'm married to a sinner, and she's married to a sinner. And there's things she likes, and then there's things she doesn't like. And then there's things I like, and there's things that I don't like. But we bear all things. It's a bond. Would you consider yourself loyal? Do you have a fervent mind? And longevity is not always a perfect indicator. Do you understand? Just as loyalty to God is a choice, loyalty to your family is a choice. It's a bond that we have placed ourselves in on purpose. Now look, it bears all things. It believeth all things, believes all things. I believe the best. I'm looking for the best. I believe it. I believe that God can do it. Hopeth all things, looking to God in faith. The only reason we're still married is because my wife has trusted in God, not in me. I've trusted in God, not her. I've trusted in God. It's a vow. It's a bond. We have placed ourselves in, and we are loyal out of choice. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. After we'd gone through some hard times in our life, my wife would say to me, I always knew that this was just a season and it would pass. I believed God, I hoped in God, and God came through. Are you loyal? Are you loyal to God? Are you loyal to your spouse and your family? Take your Bible, turn to John 17 and verse 21. Are you loyal to your church family? John chapter 17 and verse 21. John chapter 17 and verse 21. Look what the Bible says. This is Jesus' prayer. Now this is the night he's going to be arrested. He is praying to his heavenly Father. And he's not just praying about what he is about to endure. He is praying for the apostles. And he is praying for you and I, those who would believe on their testimony, who would believe on their testimony and their testimony all the way down through the ages to us. And in John chapter 17 and verse, look at it. Let me find it real quick. John chapter 17 and verse 21, the Bible says, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Do you have a fervent, passionate affection, fidelity, faithfulness to the church whom you say you have a relationship with? So we're not interested in dating as the church. We want you to be part of the family. Spoiler alert, though, this church is full of sinners. From the front door to the back door to the basement to the attic, they're all sinners. Every single one of them. Did you know that? They're sinners. Sinners. Oh, my soul. In an independent, fundamental King James only, nary drop of literature church, they're just chock full. You know, Christians are like porcupines trying to huddle up on a cold night. Sometimes we get real close, we poke each other. It happens. But are you loyal? Are you loyal? In John 13, the Bible says, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. As I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have one toward another. You know, godly friendship is priceless. It says in Proverbs 17:17, a friend loveth at all times. At all times. When somebody's having a good day and when somebody's having a bad day. When somebody's having a terrible week or a good week. When somebody's having a blessing and a bonus. And sometimes when they're just at rock bottom, when they've stumbled and fallen, do you still love them? Spoiler alert, they're Christians. And they're sinners. And they're not perfect. The best way to have loyal friends, I will tell you, is to be a loyal friend. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. You want to have godly friends? Be a godly friend. And there is a friend that sticketh close to his brother. Because see, your attendance at the church reflects your loyalty. Your tithing reflects your loyalty. Your prayer for brothers and sisters who sit next to you reflects your loyalty. You see, there's something wrong with our character when opportunity and circumstances affect our loyalty to those we're in a relationship with. If opportunity to fulfill your flesh or circumstances God has allowed controls your loyalty to those you're in a relationship with, you've got a problem with your character. Because the choice is still yours. The one thing Brother Bob taught me in this lesson was you can be faithful in your relationship. You can be faithful to God. You can be faithful to your family. You can be a faithful, godly brother and sister in Christ. You can be a faithful church member. You can be faithful. You can. It's the only thing you have control over is how you behave, how you respond. You can't control anyone else. See, character is not a talent. Character is something developed through choices. The word character means the particular qualities about you that define you. I mean, how many times do I got to lie to you before you're going to call me a liar? How many times do I have to steal from you before you call me a thief? How many times do I have to cheat on you to call me a cheat? See, you understand that the particular qualities about you that define you, that label you, that is your character. And those are not something you're born with. They're developed through choices you make every day. That's character. And sometimes when you hear someone's name who has acted with very poor character, you automatically feel sour about them because you've been the recipient of their poor character. And it has now defined them. But when we allow, let's say, an opportunity to fulfill our flesh, to dictate our loyalties, that's a character problem. When we allow circumstances to dictate our loyalty, our faithfulness, our fidelity, our bond, that's a character problem. Character is something that is developed. Now, it is affected by what you see. The Bible says in Psalm 101 and verse 3, let me read it to you, Psalm 101 verse 3, I will set no wicked thing before mine eyes. I hate the work of them that turn aside. It shall not cleave to me. The Bible says that evil communication corrupts good manners, that what we see and what we hear and who we hang around affect our character. How is your character affecting those around you? How is your display of loyalty in your relationship to God, your family, and to the Lord's church? How does that reflect and affect those around you? How's that bond making a difference? Are you illustrating God in your bond? Are you being loyal? He is the perfect picture of loyalty. Character also is not just influenced by what you see and what you hear and who you run with. It is not bound by your environment. Take your Bible, turn to Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah 31. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 29. Did you know there are certain colloquialisms we use in this country that actually come from the Bible? Jeremiah 31 and verse 29. The Bible says, in those days they shall no more say, the father has eaten a sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. But every one shall die for his own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Have you ever heard somebody say, well, you just got sour grapes? Well, what they're saying is, well, that's just the way I was raised. I've always been like this. You know, lots of people have overcome poverty and an abusive home to go on to be somebody with good character and loyal. The choice is ours. Do you realize I left home when I was 20? I went to college when I was 20, left home 21, got married when I was 22. I'm now 50 years old. I have lived longer outside of my mom and dad's house than I lived in it. Some of you in the room are in that category as well. So the time to blame your parents for what you do and how you do is over. Time grow up. It's time grow up. Because now the choice is yours, how you'll behave. See, the word ability, that responsibility, means we have the ability to respond and how we respond. So character is influenced by what we see here and who we hang with, but it's also not bound by our environment, and we can't make excuses anymore. Our character will protect us. Our character will prepare us. Our character will propel us. You've heard me talk about this. But if our character, if we allow our choices to adversely affect our loyalty, then our character is what needs to change. Under loyalties. So are you loyal to God? I'm not talking about lordship salvation. I'm talking about loyalty. I had a call today from a young man I haven't talked to in years. Was a teenager in our church in Arkansas. And he and his brother have parted company because his brother stole from him. And the problem was fulfilling the flesh, covetousness, affected his loyalty to his family. Are you loyal? Is there an opportunity or a circumstance that would cause you to be disloyal to God, to your family, to your church? Then it's the character that needs to change. It's called a fervent mind, and it's a choice we make. It's a choice that we decide. It's a bond we place ourselves in with our Lord. When we say, "You're God, and I will obey," that is me putting myself under His authority and in this bond and saying, "I will." When I got married and I made this vow to my wife, I entered into a bond with my wife, and it's a choice I made. And I place myself inside the bounds of that vow. And I'm loyal. Sarah first. And when I lead a man through his vows at the altar, at the wedding altar, I say, and will you keep yourself only for her for as long as you shall live? That means there's no other room in your life for the girl at the office, for the girl at the golf course, for the girl you meet at the conference. There's no other room for your life. Your card's full. It goes that way for girls too. There's no room for your life for any other man. When it comes to your loyalty for God, is your card full? There's just room for Jesus. I don't have room for any other idol. Nothing else can take the place. Am I loyal? And it's a one-time decision, but then it's a daily decision. Am I going to be loyal to him today? Am I going to put him first today? You're going to have struggles. You're going to have troubles. But the question is, are they going to dictate your loyalty? Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Again, the word loyalty means hot, ardent, fidelity, or faithfulness. In the Bible, it's called a fervent mind. A mind that doesn't grow cold to that person. Our Father and our God, we love you. And I'm so thankful that you've never been disloyal to us. You've never been unfaithful. And Father, we're thankful that you have given yourself as an example to us. And it is our desire to be loyal to you. Now, Father, speak to every heart and every soul today. Father, let that verse stand out in our heart, that we not allow covetousness to dictate the bond of the relationship you and I are in. Father, if there's one among us that's lost, give them the courage to come and to be saved. Speak to us now in Jesus' name. Amen. As Mrs. Mix begins to play, the altar's open. The Bible says if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If God has brought to mind or is bringing to mind a time when you were not loyal, when you were not faithful to him, confess it. Walk away right. Walk away clean. Come back to him. Where do you land tonight? Between self and the Savior, where do you land? Between yourself and your spouse, where do you land tonight? Are you fervent in mind?
Lord, I need you.
Your day may have started off terrible, went downhill, but it doesn't have to end that way. Won't you come? Loyalty is a choice. It's not a feeling. It's certainly not convenient. Nor is it comfortable. It means to obligate myself, regardless of the outcome, but to obligate myself, to bind myself.
Your grace is more. Where grace is found is where you are. And where you are, Lord, I am free. Holiness is Christ in me.
We all know what it feels like when somebody treats us like we're optional when we've obligated ourselves to them. We've obligated ourselves and they treat us like we're optional to them. Is that how the Lord feels about us? Is that how your spouse feels about you? Never joined the church, it's time. Come join. Come be a member. We've dated. Now it's time to be family.
Teach my song to rise to you. When temptation comes my way. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you.
Our Father and our God, we love you and thank you, God, for being faithful. Thank you for being loyal. Now, Father, as we go from this place, let our lives reflect this relationship we have with you, that it may reflect it in every aspect and area of our life. Father, that people will see us, will see you. Father, that they'll see our good works and glorify you. And Father, we ask that you would give us someone to witness to this week, someone to share our faith, someone to encourage and lift up. Let us be that godly friend. Father, bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this Friday, the teens are going to Benchmark.